Book of Matthew. We've been in Genesis since the beginning of January and going through that book and looking at the extraordinary God that we serve through ordinary people. And today we're going to move over to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew. So that means on Wednesday we'll probably hand out a outline of Matthew. Amen. As we finish up the Gospel or the Genesis account. Amen. And so we're in Matthew chapter number 14. Much is going on here in chapter number 14, and there's the loss of John the Baptist in the first several verses, and then the Lord proclaiming truth as normal, verses 13 and 14. The laborers there, 15 and 16, the lad with the lunch there in verse 17, and the loaves and the fish and all that lunch prepared for those multitudes there. And then we pick up with what we're going to be at today in verse number 22. And this is the account of Peter walking on the water. If you would agree with me, he is an ordinary person just like you and I, equipped with extraordinary power through an extraordinary God. And I'm going to let you know up front here the focus of today's message. The focus is this: we need to be prepared before the winds and the waves of life come. Amen. Getting prepared after they come is not a good idea. Amen. If you're in a hurricane prone area, if you don't prepare before the hurricane comes, guess what? You're probably going to get damage to your property. And much like what we're going to see here in the life of Peter, you and I need to be prepared before the winds and the waves come. Amen. There's going to be much here that we're going to see. And we're going to take a little bit today, we're going to take a little bit tonight, a little bit on Wednesday, and then we'll take the rest probably next week. But that is the focus for this morning: being prepared before the wind and the waves of life come. And that's not the title. The title is this: ordinary people with ordinary problems with an extraordinary power of God. That's the title. Amen. Ordinary people with ordinary problems. By the way, your problems are not unique to you. Somebody say amen. I ain't preaching yet, amen. I'm just letting you know. We get into this woe is me. My problem, my dog ran away. My cat ran away. My car got into a car accident. It's nothing unique to you. It's common. But we have an extraordinary God to help us with ordinary problems because we're just ordinary people. Amen. Matthew chapter number 14. Amen. Before I start preaching, Pastor White, I tell you what's the truth. Amen. Verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Praise God for Jesus dealing with the multitudes. Amen. Verse 23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit.' They cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' Peter answered him, said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" I want you to read with me verses 22, 23, and 24, and that's where we're going to be at this morning. Here we go, it's 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary." When we have ordinary problems, they can seem to build up into overpowering problems like the wind and the waves in our text. It can seem to happen in no time at all. If you've ever been around a gust of wind, you know that a gust of wind can come out of nowhere. You can't see it coming, nor can you see it going. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Ordinary problems may be common to man, but to us at times they appear as extraordinary problems. Like the wind and the waves in our text, they can't be controlled by us. It's especially at these times that we need to seek and see Jesus step out in faith like Peter did over the winds and the waves disturbances of our lives to find peace, the peace that passes all understanding, over the problems that escalated out of our control, because we cannot control the wind nor the waves, nor can we control our problems oftentimes. There will be many things in our lives that appear as ordinary problems, but quickly they will get out of control like the wind and the waves. However, that's when we need extraordinary power of God to overcome those problems like Peter. Peter's an ordinary person like you and me, exercising the extraordinary power of God. I submit to you today that if we're not prepared before the winds and the waves come, we will sink. My focus today is to encourage you. Let's get prepared before the winds and the waves come. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, we can't predict the future. We cannot predict the weather. We have an idea from the forecasters as to what will happen. We cannot predict the magnitude of it. We don't know where it's going to come, when it's going to come sometimes. We have predictions. Just like when it comes to problems, we may see problems on the horizon. We may see this is a potential disaster. Lord, does us no good if we're not prepared for the disaster when it comes. God, my prayer for us today as a people, the people of God, is that we might prepare ourselves. For when the winds and the waves come, they can quickly spiral out of control like they did in the text here. Lord, help us to find some clues and some tips from this text area as to what we can do before the winds and the waves come, and we may secure the power and the peace of Almighty God. Lord, I do pray if there's one here today without Jesus Christ, if they were to die today, they are unsure that heaven is their home, planted upon their heart, Lord, the very need to trust Christ as Savior. Same way Peter got out of the boat and walked at Jesus' command. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter said, Lord, save me. The Bible says, and immediately Jesus reached out. Lord, help us recognize you're not just interested in saving us, but you're also interested in keeping us through the waves and the winds of life. And Lord, we can do something to be better prepared and equipped when those winds and waves come, because they will come. Bless now in this morning's sermon and the song that will be sang. Lord, touch our hearts. You came for people like us, and Lord, we're ordinary people, but I'm so glad we have you as an extraordinary God to rely upon. Work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And Mrs. Dawson is going to sing about ordinary people. Thank you.
If this had been a perfect world, he never would have come. There would have been no manger bed, no angels would have sung. But this is not a perfect world, and so he came to earth. And this is why we celebrate Jesus' birth. He came for people like you and me, people who laugh and cry. love and healing, he came here to set free people like you and me. If he never come to earth, we never would have found the perfect love that changes hearts and turns our lives around. But Jesus came to bring this world the gift we can receive, to bring the truth to all who would believe. He came for people like you and me, people who laugh and cry and hope and dream. He came with love and healing. He came here to set free people like you and me. He came for people like you. He came with love and healing. He came here to set free people like you and me.
Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. Jesus came for people like you and me. And that is the theme all year long, extraordinary God using ordinary people like you and me. And I'm so glad for what he's given us here, all these great people in the Bible that we find up here that were utilized for God's ability and God's sake. And extraordinary God, he said, I am the Almighty God in Genesis 17:1. Exodus 3:14, he says, I am that I am. Moses asked, well, who should I say sent you? And he said, I am that I am. Amen. I'll be what I need to be. Praise God. And I'm so thrilled about this year's theme. And I know it's been a blessing to me. I've meditated on this for several years. And so I'm just excited about what God's going to do throughout this year through me as an ordinary person. I trust that you are thinking about what God's going to go do through you as well as an ordinary person. I've been 28 years now saved, and I can testify to the extraordinary power of God. Amen. I've seen it time and time again, and these 28 years have been a blessing to me being saved. Amen. You say, preacher, did you have times like Peter when you doubted and began to sink? Oh, yes, I have. Amen. I had more times than I'd like to remember. Amen. And I don't know about you. Maybe you stepped out by faith as well and began to sink. Amen. But the sensible person says, Lord, save me. Amen. The silly person drowns. Amen. I don't know about you, but mama ain't raised no fool. Amen. If I'm going to be drowning, I'm going to call on somebody that can save me. Well, as we look at this area here in Matthew, of course, most of us are familiar with this story already. We know what Peter has done. Amen. Jesus commands the disciples to go to the other side. And the winds and the waves increase. The disciples are afraid, and Jesus comes to rescue them. Amen. By the way, there's something interesting I want to point out to you. Ironically, there is no mention of storm or rain in this passage. Read verse 24. Notice what it says. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Notice what it says. Tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So it doesn't mention a storm at all. Come down to verse 30. But when he saw the, what's that word? The wind boisterous, he was afraid. There is no mention of rain. There is no mention of storm here. And oftentimes the problem is not the real problem. Amen. The problem is not the real problem. What are you talking about, preacher? There is no problem with the water mentioned at this point. The problem with the water comes when the winds and the waves pick up and the possibility to get capsized and go into the water. Amen. And so it is the winds and the waves that bring the danger, not the storm. And the water is the one thing that can cause you to be a casualty. Interesting. No storm is mentioned. Why are you saying that, preacher? Because oftentimes things and problems happen in our lives, and it's not so much the problem, it's what the problem can do to our lives. Amen. Hey, there's nothing wrong with having a bad tooth, but it's what the bad tooth can cause in our lives. Nothing wrong with having some issues with my heart. It's what those issues may cause in my life. Amen. And oftentimes, it's not the water, it's the wind and the waves that potentially shake me and toss me overboard into an abyss of everlasting nothingness. Amen. I just can't do anything. And so I find that very interesting that there's no mention of a storm here. In other places there are, but not in this scripture area here. And I'm convinced that oftentimes it's the problems, the winds and the waves, that end up doing us in because we're not prepared. Again, put yourself into an area where hurricanes are prevalent. The news comes across, barricade your doors, board your windows, make sure you get to higher ground, make sure you get out of town, do whatever it takes. The individual that's prepared sustains the least amount of damage. The one that's not prepared oftentimes suffers the greatest damage. I submit to you today that many times we're not prepared for the storms of life before they come. Consequently, we feel like we're sinking. And we feel like we're drowning. Peter, in a moment of boldness in this scripture, asks permission to approach Jesus, and he gets authority to do so and ends up walking on water. That which previously put them in jeopardy, the winds and the waves, he now is able to walk on that one thing that was his enemy, that the winds and the wave could toss him overboard, and that thing that could suck him under and take him under, he's able to walk on it. I submit to you, with the extraordinary power of God, you and I, as ordinary people, can walk on these ordinary problems that somehow seem to turn into extraordinary problems, because they don't always start out big. But in a moment, they seem to just pick up out of nowhere. I want to give you some encouragement this morning. When the disciples set out at Jesus' command, the wind and the waves were calm. There's no mention of wind. There's no mention of waves at the beginning when Jesus tells them to set out. Notice verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. But then you find in verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. That was not the case in the beginning. What's the application for us today? The ship can represent our lives. The ship can represent our lives. The wind and the waves can represent the problems that life brings. Peter can represent the victorious Christian overcoming problems by faith in the power of God. You and I have an extraordinary God, even though we're ordinary people. And when ordinary people have ordinary problems that somehow turn into extraordinary problems, we need an extraordinary God. Somebody say amen. We cannot control the problems oftentimes. We cannot control the winds and the waves, but we have an extraordinary God who can. And who can, although he did not stop the wind and the waves, he authorized Peter to walk out over the wind and the waves commotion. You and I can function, although we have some extraordinary problems in our lives. Even if we're ordinary people, why? We've got an extraordinary God. Let's see some things about this. I want us to consider some tips today to prepare for the winds and the waves of life. Consider tip number one, and this is tip number one. Consider the value of the extraordinary promise.
Consider the value of the extraordinary problem. If I'm going to walk on water, if I'm going to walk on my problems, I'm going to be able to overcome that which seems to inundate me, and that which seems to take me apart, and that which seems to jeopardize my walk for God, I've got to consider the value of the extraordinary promise. Notice verse number 22 again. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, notice this, and to go before him on to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Jesus commanded them to go to the other side. So obviously, he knew they could and would be able to get there. God is not going to give you a command that you cannot fulfill. Could they go to the other side? Yes, they could. Did Jesus expect them to go to the other side? Yes, he did. Does Jesus expect you to have a problem that he cannot control? There's no problem that he cannot control, except the problem you don't give him. Amen. Amen. He knew they could. He knew they would get to the other side. Amen. If Jesus gives us a command, he gives the power to fulfill it. By the way, he said, my peace leave I unto you. Amen. Now, if he left the peace, guess what? The only person doesn't have it, the person don't take it. Amen. Just like salvation, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be what? Saved. The only one that's not saved, the only one that doesn't call on the Lord. Amen. And so when he gives a promise, he gives us the way to fulfill it. If Jesus gives a command, he gives the power to fulfill it. That's a promise we need to value. With God, all things are possible, even overcoming the wind and the waves of life. There's nothing that life brings you that Jesus Christ can't get you through. Amen. One of the blessings of serving a risen Savior is knowing that he's always with us no matter where we go or what we go through. We need to value the extraordinary promises we have from our Almighty God, especially his promise to be with us through it all. There's several phrases, verses I'm going to read to you here in just a moment. But the one phrase that I like with this is, I am with you. By the way, when Jesus sent them to the other side, don't you think his spiritual presence went with them? Don't you think his spiritual power went with them? Although he wasn't physically there, guess what? He didn't need to be physically there. By the way, Jesus Christ is not physically here, but his spirit is physically here. Amen. And the spirit of God is what keeps us by the word of God. He said, go to the other side. I know you can, and I know you will. You might run into a bump along the way, but you're going to get there. By the way, did God promise you and I a smooth life? If that was the case, we wouldn't do anything for God. The bumps that help us grow, amen. I'm not talking about the bumps on your head either. We need to value the extraordinary promises we have from Almighty God. Notice the phrase, I am with you, in these next verses over and over that I read, because it's always good to know before the winds of life increase. I need to know that God's with you. By the way, how many of y'all know that God is with you? Amen. If you're saved, God is with you. There's no reason for us to be in the pit of despair, although sometimes we go there, knowing that Jesus is with me. We sing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. I mean, we sing that song. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. Is that not the song? I believe the songwriter probably could identify with Peter and probably went through some tough times, amen? And so notice these verses here of talking about God being with us. To Israel, he said this in Jeremiah 42 and verse 11. Again, what's my focus? My focus, I want you and I to be prepared before the winds and the waves come, because they will come. Jeremiah 42 and verse 11, to Israel, he said this, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you. Notice that, to save you and deliver you from his hand. They came to the prophet, the man of God, and they said, what should we do? He said, this is what you ought to do. And he said, don't you be afraid of the king of Babylon. Why? If God tells you not to be afraid of somebody, guess what? You ought not be afraid of. Amen. In Haggai 1:13 to Israel, he said this when they were building. Haggai 1:13, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. You know what that is? That's a promise that I need to value. That's an extraordinary promise that I need to value. To Haggai, or in Haggai 2:4, he said this to Israel, leadership and the people. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, notice this, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. By the way, he doesn't need to hold your hand. He is there in spirit. Amen. Well, if he was just holding my hand and I'd know he was there, he's there with me on your hand or not. You just have to believe it by faith. You have to believe it. What am I saying? He said over and again, I am with you. In the New Testament, Matthew, he said this to the church, Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am what? With you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age, amen. He said, until you get to glory, I'm with you spiritually. I'll be with you in glory. I'll be with you hereafter. I'll be with you forever. You can't have a better promise than that. What am I saying? An extraordinary promise that we have to value, that God is with me before the winds and the waves come. I've got to know that he's with me. Amen. Got to know that. Not only should we value the promise that God gives that he is with us through everything, but we should value the promise that he will never forsake us. How many of y'all know he will never forsake you? Why do you think Peter called out, Lord, save me? Why do you think after Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he stripped himself down and jumped in the water to go to Jesus? Because he knew Jesus would never forsake him. And friend, if you don't know that, then you're going to fail when it comes to the winds of life. You're going to fail when it comes to the waves of life. If you don't know that he won't forsake you and he won't fail you, you will fail and you will begin to sink. Notice the phrase, nor forsake thee, in these next verses that I read, because it's always good to know this before the winds and the waves of life increase. To Israel in Deuteronomy 31:6, Moses said this, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. Notice this, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Guess what that means? That means he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen? That's exactly what it means. To Joshua, this is what he said in Joshua 1:5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Notice the phrase, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What am I saying? Before the winds and the waves of life come, we've got to know that beforehand. We've got to believe God's word, hang on to it and say, God, I don't know what's going on here. The winds are up. The waves are high, but I know one thing, you're with me. I know one thing, you won't fail me. I know one thing, you won't forsake me. That's one thing I know. Why? Because you're an extraordinary God and I'm just an ordinary person. I can't control the wind. I can't control the waves, but you sure can. Amen. It's good to know. To Solomon, David said this in 1 Chronicles 28:20. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. Notice this. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen. You say, preacher, that's Old Testament. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 13 for New Testament Christians. Amen. Hebrews 13. Oh, that's Old Testament, folks. Now, let's get it updated. Amen. Hebrews 13. And notice what's said to the Christian here, 13 and verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. In other words, he said, be content with what you got. Amen. Don't want what everybody else has. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will, what's that word? Never, what's the next word? Leave, what's the next word? Thee. Know who thee is? Ye. That's you. I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. Folks, we have to value the extraordinary promises God gives us. The winds and the waves are going to come. We can't stop that. Anytime you get on the sea, you are subject to the winds and the waves. Well, I got a rudder. Your rudder's of no use when you're in a typhoon. Your rudder's of no use when you're in a hurricane. Your rudder's of no use when you're in a cyclone. Your rudder is of no use to you. You'll spin in circles. And then when the winds and the waves pick up, you and I've got to be prepared. And God says, I'll never leave you. God says, I won't forsake you. God says, I'm with you. Friend, we need that. I don't know about you. I've needed that the 28 years of my life of being a Christian. I've needed that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When our Lord tells us to do something, we should value the extraordinary promises he gives us. He told them, go to the other side. And what did he say? Go before me to the other side. Go back to Matthew. So the first tip that you and I need in being prepared for the winds and the waves before they come is to make sure that we value the extraordinary promise. He said, I want you to go before me on to the other side. That meant that he was going to be coming to the other side and he was going to be with him. And of course, he sent the multitudes away. Tip number two. To prepare for the winds and the waves of life, consider the vitality in ordinary prayer. Consider the vitality in ordinary prayer. What does vitality mean? Life-giving. Life-giving. I don't know about you, but prayer will give you life. It'll pick you up when you're down. Amen. Prayer will get you in touch with the extraordinary power of God that you could not otherwise get in touch with. Hey, well, how did Peter get saved? He said, Lord, save me. What was that? A prayer. It was a request. He spoke to Jesus, Lord, save me. He didn't get fancy. He said three words, Lord, save me. He didn't say save them. He didn't say save my mama. He didn't say save my grandpa. He didn't say help me at my job. He didn't say, well, give me a new pair of shoes. He said, Lord, save me. Why? He was in danger of sinking in the sea. And he prayed. He prayed. He said, preacher, that was a real formative prayer. Let's see how formative you get when you drown.
Yeah.
Almost Heavenly Father. I seem to be drowning right now. I don't want to be like Jonah. Lord, please protect me and come and take my... That's the next thing you're going to hear. Peter said, Lord, save me. What am I saying here? The vitality of ordinary prayer. Why? We're ordinary people. But we're praying to an extraordinary God. Hallelujah. Hey, God delights in hearing from you. He delights in hearing from me, even though he's an extraordinary God. Although we're not down to the point where he said, Lord, save me, Jesus gives us an example. I like this. Notice verse number 23. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. That's Jesus. Jesus had to pray. He didn't have to, but he gave us an example. Amen. By the way, let you know something. Jesus did nothing in his own strength. Somebody say amen. He was God in the flesh, but he did nothing in his own strength. He went straight to his Father, and what he did by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that you and I have, the extraordinary power of God, through the Spirit of God. Whatever he did, whatever got done, he did it through the extraordinary power of the Spirit of God so that you and I can have an example that there is no wind too great for you. There is no wave too big for you. There is nothing that God can't do through the power of the Spirit of God. Nothing. He went up into a mountain to pray alone. He had just fed the multitudes up there, the 5,000 in verse number 21. He had just gone through the other things up there early on, gotten the news about John the Baptist getting his head cut off. He had gotten the laborers busy giving out the loaves and the fish and feeding the 5,000, and he dismisses the multitude there in verse number 22. And right afterwards, it says, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. I wonder what he prayed. Maybe he prayed something like this, Lord, John the Baptist is gone. His work is done. But Lord, he was just to prepare my way. And my work is to begin. Well, I've just fed 5,000 to show them that I'm God. I've sent the disciples away. But Lord, they're about to get into jeopardy on the sea. Lord, as I go forward into this journey, strengthen me. Give me what I need. Lord, help me as I go through this. Hey, folks, you and I can pray the same thing. We can pray the same thing. He went aside, it says, in a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. What am I saying? Tip number two, to prepare for the winds and waves of life, consider the vitality in ordinary prayer. After dismissing the multitudes, Jesus finds a time of solace to commune with his Father, just like we need to do. As I was preparing for this sermon, I looked back at my times of being alone with my Savior, and I was reminded of how he was always there for me, no matter where and what I was going through. Pastor White, I know you know what it's like
when you get alone by yourself and you say, God, this is where I'm at. And Lord, this is what I'm going through. And God, no one understands what I'm going through but you. And those times of getting alone, I see time and time again where God delivered me, and God delivered me, and God rescued me, and God comforted me, and God gave me what I needed. What am I saying here? There's a vitality in ordinary prayer. God delights in hearing from you and I, especially when we're at our lowest, especially when we're at our most vulnerable, especially when we're at those times when it's critical and we don't know where to go and what to do, and the waves are picking up and the winds are picking up, and we find out, God, help me. I began to reflect on the 28 years that I've been saved and all the obstacles that God brought me through, both in Belgium and here in Tucson. I got downright excited, preacher. I got downright. I remember seeing those times when I wavered, and man, I was stepping out on water and I was shaking and the legs went down. I had to say, Lord, save me. And he picked me up. And man, every time I look back and how he picked me up, I got excited. And I said, if he did it there, and 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 he did it again, why won't he do it now? Why? He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I am with you always. He said, I will not fail thee. If I called you, I'll equip you, I'll prepare you, and I'll use you. And he has done that. He has done that. I got downright excited about the times my Lord showed himself extraordinary to me. Why is that, preacher? Because I'm going to need it for the future. More winds are about to come. More waves are about to pick up. I've got to be prepared. They're going to come. And I've got to rely on the same God who fed the 5,000. I've got to rely on the same God who was there doing miracles. I've got to rely on the same God who saved me. I've got to rely on the same God who showed me time and time again from February 3rd, 1991, that not only can I save you, I can keep you. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. You're in my care. And I'm going to talk to him. The vitality in ordinary prayer. Do you talk to him often? Do you talk to him every chance you get? Do you talk to him when you're alone in your car? Turn off that radio, amen. Fox News ain't got nothing good on anyway, amen. Turn off that radio station. There ain't no good music on anyway, amen. Say Christian. All Christian music ain't good music either. Somebody say amen. Just because it said Christian don't mean it's Christian, amen. That's another series of messages. We don't even talk about that morning. But he got alone. Giving you and I an example, there's vitality in ordinary prayer. Try it sometime. Get alone with God and reflect in prayer of the extraordinary, powerful times he delivered you when there seemed to be no way out. Folks, Israel always reflected on the Red Sea. You find the Psalms, you find everything. They'll start talking. They'll say, we remember the Red Sea. And when I start talking about that, I talk about my salvation. And I talk about this building, how we got that $500,000. That's what I talk about. Israel always talked about the Red Sea. They referred to the times of deliverance when they were at the Red Sea. And there seemed to be no way out. There seemed to be no way across. Pharaoh was approaching. And God said, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Israel, whom you've seen, you will see no more. That water parted. They went down through on dry land. Pharaoh said, we can do that too, just like we did them serpents. Yeah, you can, but you won't come out on the other side. And they went in. They didn't come out. Amen. By the way, them serpents that they call themselves casting down, Moses' serpent ate them up. When's the last time you seen one serpent eat up another serpent and turn around and eat up the other serpent without the other one trying to fight back? Amen. Israel often referred to their times of deliverance, and so should we. Reflect on the times of deliverance. It will help us when the winds and the waves of life overcome us. If he delivered last time, he's capable of doing it again. So tip number one, consider the value of the extraordinary promise. Tip number two, consider the vitality in ordinary prayer. Jesus gets alone, apart, and prays. In the evening come, he was there alone. Then tip number three, and we're going to stop after this one. Tip number three, to prepare for the winds of life and the ways of life, the velocity of ordinary problems. The velocity of ordinary problems. Velocity means speed. Problems don't come at the velocity you want them. Did you realize that? They didn't come in the velocity you want them, nor did they come in the duration or the frequency that you want them. When's the
When's the last time you ordered a problem? Like going to McDonald's. I'd like to have three problems and can I have three tragedies? And can I have a drink of suffering? And supersize that. I don't know about you, I'm trying to get more for less. Can I have a Big Mac for free? I was too long at the waiting list. Can I get some fries? We don't go through there and say, look, can I have a problem? If that were the case, we would never get a problem. That's like asking children, do you want vegetables? Do you want vegetables? Let me think about that. No. You want sweets? I don't even have to think about that. Yes. Do we want problems? No. The velocity of ordinary problems. Problems don't come at the velocity you want them. Neither do waves and winds. Once you get out on the sea, you're vulnerable, brother. G2 and I was talking about the other day of going fishing. And when you go fishing, you're at the sea's mercy. Winds can come out of nowhere. And they can tear you apart if you're not prepared. Amen. Unexpected winds and waves of life are expected winds and waves known by God. He knows already. Problems will come. 1 Peter 4:12 says it this way, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. He said, don't think it strange when the trials come. Don't think it strange when you get out there on the sea of life and you start navigating, when a trial comes your way and blows you off course. I don't like it any more than you. But you're the preacher. You're better equipped to deal with it. Says who? I'm no mighty man. I got an extraordinary God, though. And that's the difference. God is the difference maker. I'm an ordinary person just like you with ordinary problems that sometimes escalate into extraordinary problems just like that. And I've got to turn to an extraordinary God and say, God, I've got this problem that started out very ordinary. I'm just an ordinary guy. Now this problem seems to be extraordinary. And you being an extraordinary God, I know you can handle it. Lord, save me. Amen. What am I saying? The velocity of ordinary problems. It says, but the ship, verse 24, was now in the midst of the sea. But the ship was not, let's talk about that for a minute. The word but denotes a contrast with the tranquility of the alone time of prayer in verse 23. Notice what it says there. And just visualize this. Verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening come, he was there alone. So picture the tranquility of Jesus by himself, kneeling, talking to his Father, communing in prayer. Everything's calm. The birds are sweet. I mean, it's just, but at the same time, the disciples out there that he told to go on the other side are in peril. They're in jeopardy. So the scene shifts from the tranquility of Jesus to now the tragedy about to happen with the disciples. But it denotes this change that's coming in the text from the tranquility of being alone and the time of prayer compared with the peril. What am I saying? That's how quick tragedies can come. You can be in prayer. You can be in your devotions and get a phone call and get a text or get a knock at your door that a tragedy has struck. That's just how quick they can come. That's why we've got to be prepared. You can't wait till the tragedy comes and say, well, let me get prepared. It's already there. Jesus gives us the example in verses 22 and 23. Hey, trust in my promises. Value these promises. They're extraordinary promises. But then you've got to also make sure you've got some vitality in ordinary prayer. Pray to me. Get alone. Talk to me. Why? Because the velocity of ordinary problems are going to come. While Jesus was communing alone with his Father, the waves were high and the wind was contrary around the disciples. The word midst in your scripture there means in the middle of, the midst of the sea, refers to them being in the middle of the sea or the halfway point of getting across. You ever notice how when you're running, anybody ever done any running here? You ever know how when you start running, you get about halfway done and you hit that brick wall? Or you run out and you've got to run back, you turn around, you look at where you got to run back to, and you get defeated. I got to run back there. I do some walking for my ankle and my Achilles, and I go up these hills, and oftentimes I'll look back where I came to. I say, man, I came all that distance, and I got to go back that way? Awesome. Man, I don't want to go back there. I don't look. It gets discouraging sometimes. The midst means they were halfway there. Normally, that's how it is with our ordinary problems. They start out normal, and halfway in, the problem picks up, winds and waves of it begin to pick up, and this ordinary problem turns extraordinary. Hey, by the way, the winds and the waves were already there. On the other side, they just hadn't increased or picked up. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hey, your problems are already there. They just seem to increase and pick up along the way. Oftentimes, it's in the midst of it, amen, when you least expect them to. Normally, that's how it is with our problems. We're in the halfway, and then something happens. Problems pick up. Notice he says down there, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The word contrary means opposite or in the face of, driving against them. By the way, turning back would have been easier. At least the wind would have been in the back of them. It would have driven them back to the other side from which they came. But guess where Jesus told them to go? The other side. Sometimes it's going to seem easier to turn around. Sometimes it's going to seem, hey, the wind is contrary. It's in my face. It's opposite. Maybe I should just go with the flow. But then you're going against the will of God. And going with the flow is not always where you should go. Hey, young people. Going with the flow is not always the easy thing to do. Nor is it the right thing. The wind was contrary, opposite. Turning back would have been easier, but it was not in the will of God. Jesus said, go to the other side. And again, there is no mention of storm going on here, just winds and waves. And the danger is in what the winds can do. The danger is oftentimes in what the problems can do. Will they cause you to cave in, or will you stand up and be called a Christian? Amen. Because when the winds and waves come, they're going to either prove your Christianity to be good or to prove your Christianity to be faulty. Amen. I'm just saying, preacher, I don't like that. You don't have to like it. They didn't like this storm either. By the way, winds and the waves were always there. They just increased in the midst of the halfway point. The point of putting them out of control. And now the winds come. What am I saying? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. The storms of life can come upon us at any time. It is to be expected. Tonight we're going to begin to pick it up a little bit more in verse 25, but just for these couple verses here, Jesus Christ gives you and I the tips in preparation for the winds and the waves of life. We've got to make sure that we value the extraordinary promise. He said, I want you to go before me to the other side. That's a promise. I'm going to be there. Go before him unto the other side. Then we need to make sure we exercise vitality in ordinary prayer. Jesus gave us the example. He went into a mountain apart to pray. He didn't come. He was alone. Get alone with God in prayer. I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about pouring your heart out. I'm talking about real prayer. I'm talking about needy prayer. I'm talking about desperate prayer. Peter's prayer may not have been lengthy, but I can guarantee it was desperate. He said, Lord, save me. It was desperate prayer. It had a destination to it. Lord, I want you to save me. I'm not talking about anybody else. I know the other 12 are there, but they're not where I am. And so I need you to save me. He had desperate prayer. There was a destination to it. But the end was a delight. Immediately, the Bible says, Jesus stretched out his hand. Hey, I don't know what winds and waves you have, but I can guarantee you we all have them. I don't know your problems. You don't know mine. But we all know our extraordinary God. And friend, your ordinary problems are handled by ordinary people just like you and me. And they can quickly escalate into extraordinary problems like the wind and the waves out of your control. And if you're not prepared with some vitality in ordinary prayer, with some value in the extraordinary promise, the velocity of those ordinary problems will overtake you and throw you overboard. And you and I need to be prepared. Folks, I don't know about you, but just thinking about what God has done for me over these 28 years has excited my soul. And yes, I've been like Peter a few times.
I've gotten out the boat, started walking, looked back, said, nah, just to start sinking. You know what I had to do? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. We're going to pick this up tonight. I just ask you, are you prepared for the next wind? Are you prepared for the next wave? It's going to come. We don't know the velocity of them. I mean, you could go outside, your car could be gone. Hey, I remember we was in church just like we are right now over in Belgium, and we came out, one of the guy that got me and my wife in church, somebody had busted his window to his car and stole stuff out of his car. And we was in church. Imagine the hallelujah chorus he had after that. You know what he did? He had a big old smile and said, well, they stole my Bible. Maybe they'll get saved. Whoever it was thought his Bible was a purse because it was in one of those cases. And he had a nice white Saab, beige interior, all leather seats. It was the highest class you could get. And they smashed his window and stole the Bible out of the car while we was in church. You know what some carnal people say? I knew I shouldn't have came to church today. That's what carnal people say. But the ones that are prepared for the winds and the waves say, hallelujah, hopefully they'll get saved. They got my Bible. They got some tracts in there. They got the gospel in there. They might get saved. Hallelujah. That window can get prepared. Amen. That car's going to get rusty. It's going to die. But the eternal life that they get in that Bible, gone forever. I know G2 is shuddering, but my car. Hey, you can get another car. What am I saying? Folks, the winds and the waves of life are going to come. Jesus gives us the preparations and tips. The velocity, out of your control. Contrary, it's going to be there. You're going to get tossed. It's going to happen. But you've got that vitality in ordinary prayer. You've got the value of my extraordinary promise. I will not forsake thee. I will not leave thee. I will be with you always. Folks, we've got to hang on to those when it comes. That's raining out there now, but it's nothing like the winds and the waves that we could see from a hurricane. It could be a lot worse. And I don't know what your next wind will be. I don't know what your next wave is going to be like, but I can guarantee you there hath no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Something common will happen, and it'll start off probably not so bad. Halfway through, it's probably going to increase and become extraordinary, and you're going to need an extraordinary God to help you through it. 28 years I've been saved now. And God has been by my side and by my wife's side and helped us these 28 years. And he's waiting to help you as well. You just have to step out in faith. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, he wants to save you first. Peter said, Lord, save me. Step out. Ask him to save you today. And he will. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, thank you for Jesus' example. Thank you, Lord, that you've showed us that the winds and the waves will come. Lord, we have to value the extraordinary promises you give us. We have to consider the vitality in ordinary prayer and pray alone. Because the velocity of the ordinary problems we cannot control. And oftentimes we'll be in the midst of some things when they will come. And help us, Lord, to call like Peter did. Perhaps there's some Christians going through problems now, Lord, working their lives, working their hearts. Give them the peace that passes all understanding. Perhaps there's a person that needs to be saved today. Save that man, or that woman, that boy or girl. Help us, Lord, to see that you want us to be prepared because it's going to happen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no looking around, perhaps you're here today without Jesus Christ. I do want to pray for you. Perhaps if you died right now, you're not sure heaven is your home. We'd like for you to be sure, but it's got to be your decision. If that's you and you're concerned about heaven, you're not sure that it would be your home, but you want me to pray for you, just raise your hand right where you're at. You don't have to get up. Amen. I see one hand. You put that one down. Right where you're at, just raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. Remember me in your prayer. I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I'm concerned about it. Pray for me. Amen. Anyone else join the one that raised their hand? And Christian, how about you? When the next winds come, when the next waves come, are you prepared? Do you know the promises that God's giving you? Do you value them? Are you in prayer along with God saying, Lord, help me through this trial? Are you aware of the velocity of those problems you cannot control when they do come if you're not prepared? How about it, Christian? Are you prepared for the next wind, the next wave? If not, you need to ask God to get you prepared. And you need to do what he did by the example he gave. Trust the promise of the Word of God. And get involved in some prayer. And say, Lord, the problems are coming. I want to be prepared. Father, bless now these next moments. Christians are praying. Some need to be saved. Lord, may your Spirit be upon us today, that we may see what you would have us to see. Lord, then do what you would have us to do. Lord, I do pray for the one that raised their hand saying they're not sure. Lord, you would give them crystal clear sure today. In your word, you said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, you said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us, Lord, today. Whether we have problems, whether we need to call on the Lord to save us, Lord, work in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Gregory's going to play the hymn of invitation. You let God speak to your heart. Christian, maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray. You raise your hand saying you're not sure that heaven is your home. We can take a few moments of your time and take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. The choice must be yours, though. The altar is open. Come as you will. Come as God leads. Near the cross is the song, near the cross. Maybe you're in the midst of a problem right now, like the disciples. Maybe you need to call on the Lord Jesus. Maybe you need to be saved. Whatever it is that God would have you to do, why don't you come? Let God speak to your heart. Let God speak to your heart. The winds and the waves are going to come. They're here. God wants to deliver you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to encourage you. How about it today? Winds and the waves, they came out of nowhere, it seemed. They were in the midst, and it happened. Just doing what God told them to do. He said, let's go to the other side. You go before me. They were going, but in the midst, the winds came. The waves came. The water was there. It was about to capsize the boat. Peter said, Lord, save me, as he got out of the boat. How about it today? Are you prepared for the problems? Say, preacher, I'm never prepared. But you can still talk to the Lord about them. Say, Lord, when they come, I want to exercise ordinary prayer. Lord, when they come, I want to remember the promise. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And Lord, I'm holding you to that promise. I'm holding on to that vitality of prayer. Preacher, it sounds so simple. It is. God does the hard part. We just have to humble ourselves and recognize we need God's care. We need his love. We need his compassion. We need his extraordinary power. Why? We're just ordinary people with ordinary problems that have turned into extraordinary problems out of our control, like the winds and the waves of the sea. And we need God's intervention. We're going to sink. We're going to capsize.
Rest beyond the river.
Father, thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. And Lord, just thank you so much that we can draw near the cross. Because we've been born again, we have the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. Lord, the waves and the wind, you will not cease them from coming, but you will give us the ability to face them, Lord, and at times to conquer over them if we just trust in you. Thank you for your, Lord, extraordinary promise. And help us to value the promise that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. That you said you'd not fail us. You said you would be with us. Lord, help us to fall upon that prayer. A prayer that has vitality to strengthen us, rejuvenate us. Help us to recall the times in the past where you've always been there to deliver. Through the winds and the waves of adversity in times past. Know that the waves and the winds that will come upon us today and the days after, that you are more than able as an extraordinary God to do what you've done in the past. And that's protect us, to save us, secure us. Well, we don't know the velocity of the problems when they come. Sometimes they'll come one after another. Sometimes they'll hit us strong and knock us down. Sometimes they may be light at first, but come back with a vengeance. Lord, help us to rest in your word of promise. Help us to rest in the warfare of prayer. And Lord, then continue understanding that these winds and these waves will come. Thank you for the one acknowledged the need for Christ. And Lord, I pray you work in that individual's heart and the hearts of those that are here. Lord, help us to check our lives, making sure we're prepared, because these problems will come just like a hurricane and blow us over if we're not prepared. Bring us back tonight as we look further at this area. Lord, help us to have that boldness of faith to step out on the problems that are there. We'll thank you and praise you for what you've already done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother Hall, are you out there in the hallway? Amen. I think he is. Amen. The announcements are this. Amen. We are back here tonight at 5 o'clock. Brother Hall is going to come and give us the remainder of the announcements, but we will be back tonight, 5 o'clock. We'll pick right back up with the next verse and look a little bit more at that. And looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in and through our lives. Don't let the rain stop you tonight. Don't let the Super Bowl stop you tonight. Amen. I'll be brief. Amen. And it gets you out of here in ample time.